RTÉ's four-part series Na Féilte Tine, The Fire Festivals, explores our four Irish festivals of Samhain, Imbolc, Bealtaine and Lúnasa. Each festival is a welcome to the new season, and they're over the bank holidays of the year. And this bank holiday Monday, the programme explores the festival of Bealtaine and the theme of nature. There are some great contributors, including our next guest, Michael Harding, who is sitting ready to chat in our Cork studio. Good afternoon, Michael Harding.
Hello and good afternoon to you, Raymond.
Happy May Day, Michael.
Happy May Day to you, yeah.
Now, does that mean a lot to you, May Day, Bealtaine?
It does. I think that the summer comes on you kind of suddenly, you know, especially if you're living in Leitrim.
Right.
It's kind of raining all the time. And then I came down to Cork yesterday evening and it's like I'm landing in a different country. And that's the way it is for everybody. Like, all over the country today, people will be kind of getting over-emotional because of the good weather. And you know the way we do get over-emotional? Like, people lose it because it's so beautiful a day. And it's like, you don't realise how magnificent the country is until you get the long evenings in the summer. And you can sit out till 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it's so beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, I would say that programme that goes out on Monday, I think it's Monday.
It is Monday, yes. Yeah. Now, Bealtaine,
I had nothing to do with it except I was just interviewed briefly for it. But but like it, I can say without shame, it's a magnificent programme because if you enjoy this weekend for the next two or three days, sit down at the telly on Monday and look and you'll see the condensed nature of all the different ways that we ritualise spring. Like, it's not we're talking about it. Irish people don't talk about May. They actually do things. The amount of festivals, like fire festivals and rituals and things that country people do and used to do, you know, like putting cattle through two fires. You'd light two fires and you put the cattle through.
Right. Them,
and that was supposed to be for good luck. Or people would walk out in the May morning in their bare feet for health. Or they would wash their faces in the morning dew.
You've done that, have you?
Asher, I wash my face in the morning dew every morning.
Do you?
No, I don't. But I'll tell you what I did. I'll tell you what I did. There was one time, there was a marvellous flute player in Fermanagh. He was known, the Puck Maguire. I forget his first name, I think Peter. Right. But he was famous as the Puck Maguire. He was a master flute player. And he told me that they used to put the flute out on the eve of May Day and they would leave it out overnight to steep in the grass. And that the flute would sound more resonant and it would be more beautiful, the music that came out of it, if you left it out like that for May Day. And you'd say to yourself, well, like, is that superstition or is it psychology? What's going on there? Mm. And I think that the lovely thing about Ireland now, and this is a new Ireland, like this is a new inclusive world we're living in. And I think that we've shaken off a lot of the sort of tight, you know, the tight constrictions of institutions.
Mm.
And we rejoice. We're beginning to find how much a culture of rejoicing we are. So if you do something like walk out in the May morning, or if you do something like you leave something out like the flute so that it will play better, it's not superstition really. Like it's not magic, but it's a kind of a ritual. You're embodying your hope. You're embodying your loving attitude towards music. And of course, if you have a good attitude to music, you will play better.
Interesting. I'm just wondering, because like our ancestors, pre-Christian times,
yeah,
would have done all this stuff.
They would, yeah.
For various different reasons.
Yeah.
And like, I do like to take off my shoes and run in the grass, Michael.
Do you?
Yeah. And I do feel different. I feel I can run faster.
Yeah.
I feel in touch with nature. I feel connected.
Yeah.
And I can see how that works.
I think there's a connection, all right, with nature, that there's a sensual connection with nature that happens in the springtime and in May. And there's also the sense, you know, the way, like, people say they're in touch with the sacred. They're in touch with transcendence. So that it's not like, it's not silly to walk on the barefoot on the grass. It's actually a kind of a ritual that you're connecting with Mother Earth. It's a sensual ritual. You'd see children, do you know the way children would do it? Or you'd see children on the sand on the beach in the summer. Do you know the way? And you'd be pouring the sand through your toes.
Yeah.
I remember doing that in Bundoran as a child. And the sensation of the sand going through your toes was absolutely delicious.
Well, and I suppose it begs the question, does it have to be connected to anything organised?
No, I don't think so.
No, right.
I mean, I think that, you know, traditional religion did organise itself around stuff. And they took over, if you like, what religion does is religion hijacks God. Right? You know, it takes it over and says, we have the answer to the whole gig. But I remember saying to, again, who was a flute player, and I asked him about, like, why would you do something on May Day, like, you know, walk barefoot or put your flute out the night before? You know, I said, are you communing with God? And he said, no, the fella I'm communing with is far bigger than God. You know, right. God is a kind of a small word for the magnificence of the cosmos. You couldn't... There's an Islamic phrase, they say, that there is nothing but God. There is nothing but God. I had a great friend recently from Syria. He used to knock me head about this. He'd point at everything around in the garden and he'd say, everything is God. Mm. You don't have to sort of hijack it as in a religion. So you don't have to be organized. All you have to do is have a sensual, emotional, physical connection with the world around you.
There might be a problem for some people with that because they feel that if there is a God, that they can pray to this deity and this deity will do them favours. And if God is everywhere, you know, there's no focus.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying?
It's a very good point.
Yeah.
And that may be, from a sociological point of view, the reason that we have religions, you know?
Yeah.
That's why Buddhism, Hinduism,
yes.
Islam, Christianity, maybe that's the answer. It allows us to focus on some kind of singularity that we can name.
And communicate with.
And say, oh, that's what we're talking about.
Yes.
When I go out in the morning and feel the beauty of nature and I feel like I want to weep, I'm so happy to be alive. And I mean, you know, that maybe putting a name on it helps us. But again, there's a lovely sentence in Rumi, the poet, he says, language will take you to the door, but it won't take you into the house. So the experience of the sacred is always sensual. The experience of the sacred is always just walking barefoot on the grass.
Beyond words.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Would you have any strong thoughts on the next pope?
No. I don't want the job. Definitely not.
Well, I was just thinking, you know, if your life was different, you could be a cardinal.
I made an awful mistake. I could be going around with a red hat and a big Mercedes.
You could have been there last Saturday morning
talking
there
Italian.
With the rest of them.
Dating pasta down in Rome. Well, you'll vote for me, please.
But you know, that would have been possible, Michael. It would have been possible, and you're under 80, so you would have if you were, you would have had a vote.
Yeah, it's my last life.
Yeah,
I'm left to be wandering around the country, just looking at the flowers.
Well, I'd say you're happier. I'd say you're probably thinking that you dodged a bullet there, maybe. I don't know.
I left the dandelions growing now this year.
Didn't you
cut the grass until now. And sure enough, you'd see the bumblebees crawling in and out of them. And it was magnificent to see. And in the next 4 weeks, you'll see the buttercups coming up. Mm. Them lovely little yellow fellas. Oh, God.
Lovely.
Yeah. And walk barefoot in the grass anytime you can. That's a good idea.
Here's the thing. I was doing the garden and we inherited this play area when we bought the house. And it was covered in plastic and then covered in mulch. And then there was a slide on it and a swing and all that sort of thing. So 20 years and I ripped it up.
Yeah.
And it was mad underneath it.
Oh, alive.
Oh, alive. Yeah. And a little bit scary. Roots spreading everywhere.
Yeah,
you know?
White roots.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen The Last of Us, but they looked like those fungus out of The Last of Us.
I know, yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
But it's funny the way we react against white roots, isn't it? When you lift up a stone, it's like, I don't like that. And there's another thing we react against, and that's, do you know that we used to call them slaters? They're a little creepy crawly. They're like a little tiny little thing with a whole lot of legs on it. You know them?
Yes, I encountered one of those. My pet peeve or pet hate is the little, what are they, silverfish.
Which are they?
They're the little, they're called, they're silverfish. They're little slimy little things, usually really? In damp areas, probably on the floor of your bathroom.
Oh, I know them.
Do you know them?
Yeah. Oh, Jesus, yeah.
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 Like harmless, they're not going to do you any
all
harm.
All God's just, creatures.
It's the way they move.
They're all God's creatures. Listen, poor little silverfish.
Thank you so much for taking time out, because I know you're gigging tonight. You probably have a routine, do you? The day of the
I
show.
Do. I go about 5 o'clock now. I'll go into the Everyman and I'll be in the dressing room. It's like a tunnel, you know. And I just close myself off. And it's like meditation, because what I do on stage is the same as what I do now. Is I'm only talking to people.
Mm.
And I'm only trying to use storytelling as a kind of a jazz, as a kind of a craft.
You're riffing on it, connecting
with people. And like, I do feel that, you know, the amount of festivals and the amount of energy that happens in from the 1st of May until the end of August in this country is so amazing. Mm. It overwhelms you, the sort of intensity of the kind of lush weather that we get, even when it's raining. It brings you into this sense of to be alive in the present moment. Don't be using your head. Don't be using rationality.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't be political. Don't be anything except sensual with the land and the trees and the sea and the ocean around you. And God, you'll have a great time.
We had this guy on the other day, Oliver Berkman.
Ah.
And he's written a book called Meditation for Mortals.
Yeah.
And his big thing is imperfectionism.
Yes.
You know, that we're striving to be this person at some stage in the future, and we're investing in this person sometime in the future, and as a result, we lose sight of the now and living now.
Well, Ray, you've really triggered me. That's such an issue for me.
Is it?
Yeah, because there's so many people who are trying to meditate, pray, get wellness, get physically right, and it's like clenched fist all the time, you know. Am I meditating? Well, I met a fella, an amazing fella from Mumbai. He was in London about 2 years ago. And his great point was, if you think you are meditating, you're not meditating.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Because we clench our fists trying to get things right.
Yeah.
And what you're saying, or what that fella is saying, is that the here and now, the present moment, just relax. You're already enlightened.
Mm.
You are already enlightened. It's all done. You're here. This is the mysterious moment for you. And that's why, again, all the rituals of May, you know, about fire.
Can I ask you this, Michael Harding, then? When did that dawn on you, or did you always know that? Because I have been saying to people for years, oh, yeah, easier said than done. You know, thoughts are not facts. Live in the moment. Be here. Be present. All of those things. And at an intellectual level, I knew what people were saying, but on a practical level, it was impossible for me to implement that. And it's only now that I'm beginning to get some sort of idea that maybe I can cope with that and do it. Was there a time in your life when it happened for you?
I think there was a time and a moment. I think that I was 21 years of age and I had got a job in West Cavan, and I was in, it was the month of May in about 1974. And it was a beautiful summer. And they were taking... They had to move water for the cattle because it was so dry. And I used to have to sit on the front of the tractor, like on the bonnet of the tractor, as the fellow was driving it, to keep the weight down because of the amount of water on the back of it. And I was doing that, and I was lying over this tractor, right?
As a counterbalance.
Yeah, right. Up in West Cavan.
Right.
A man who'd been to university and got a college degree, and I'm lying over this tractor, and I'm saying to myself, I have found heaven here. And it wasn't where anybody thought it was. It was in West Cavan. And it was a moment of realising that just being alive in this moment is better than anything. And I remember we used to have parties at that time, and there was a great fiddle player, Jimmy Shannon. I remember Jimmy Shannon, we'd come out sometimes from a party and it would be already dawn. So you'd be there till 4 or 5 in the morning. And inside, the lights would still be on and the curtains drawn and people playing accordions and fiddles. And you'd come out to go home and the place would be bright as midday. And I remember Jimmy looking at the day and getting up on the bonnet of my car and playing another tune. And it was like he was greeting the May morning. And that to me...
You do love May.
In those moments of May... And there's another one I just can't resist. Oh, Mary, we crown thee with blossoms today. I love that hymn. it brings it all together as well. It's just a celebration of the feminine in nature, the sensual, delicate feminine. You get it in the May bush. I've been watching this 2 weeks now. I've been watching for it to come out, and it's out. And it's the hawthorn. The precise May bush to talk about is really, for me, the hawthorn. And that, today, it comes every time on the 1st of May. Like, the cuckoo comes on the 20th of April. But the 1st of May, you go out now anywhere from Donegal to Kerry, Waterford to Belfast, and you'll find the May bushes blooming.
Sorry, there was this.
I hear a cuckoo.
Interrupted by a cuckoo. Isn't that where that saying comes from? Don't shed a clout until May is out.
Yeah, my father used to say that, but I don't know about that. I think it was all a cod, was it?
Was it?
We were less fed, you know, maybe we were hungrier. You know, that you get a chill more likely.
I think
May.
It's the only of your books I haven't read, your last book, about your father.
Ah.
Yeah, so I'll have to get that.
Well, I'm writing another one about the weather.
Right.
Yeah. I'm writing about rain.
Are you?
Yeah.
Right. How's
rain
that?
That falls in Ireland is again a mystical experience.
Yeah.
And the old monks, you know, in the 6th, 7th, 8th century, the monks, if you ever want to get the most beautiful place in any county, always go to where the old 6th, 7th century monastery was. Because the monks used to choose this location of a monastery as aesthetically the most beautiful spot to
pick. And they had the pick. They had the pick
of the whole country.
Yeah.
All they had to do was knock down a few of the oak trees.
We had two wonderful women on yesterday, Lynn Fenton and Fiona, who's an artist. And they're involved in the 221 Plus organisation, which is fronted by the late Vicky Phelan. But they've got a 16-acre site in North Clare.
Okay.
And they're calling it The Forest That Won't Forget.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Isn't
name.
It? Yeah. Yes. In the memory of the women who were affected and the families who were affected by the...
And they'll put in a tree for people and that kind of thing.
No. You see, it's a mature forest.
Okay.
Like, there's a 100-year-old forest. It's an amazing looking place.
Okay.
But they have a video in it. And in that video, this is back to you now, there's rain. Rain on forest.
Yeah.
And the drops hitting the leaves. Now, there is a sound.
It is. Do you know something? It is such a sound.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I haven't
especially
got it.
On a sycamore tree, because it is a big leaf.
Aha.
You sit under a sycamore tree and on a dry day, and then suddenly it rains.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Everything in nature. And everything in nature now. Like, if anybody's listening to this, you have heaven around you. Just
go out.
Yeah. Just try and get out. Even if you're, you know... I mean, some people can be housebound.
Mm.
And then that's what a great thing, you know, you bring your old uncle out or bring Michael Harding out or something. Give him a day out.
And how are you, Michael Harding? Because you've been through your troubles. But
I couldn't be better.
Yeah, you're sounding great, Fettle.
I couldn't be better now. And I'm getting old too.
No, you're not.
Yeah, me ancient.
It's not stopping you gigging. I see you're everywhere. And the Civic Theatre in Tallaght.
I'm here. Oh, I love Cork. I'll be here tonight. I'm in the Civic in Tallaght
in
about 2 weeks'
May.
Time. I'm Glore in Ennis. Yeah. And that's the end of the tour. And then I go, you know, I did the Camino, but I'm walking around a lot of Ireland and I take a camera with me. And I went into a shop today in Cork, actually, and bought another camera.
What class of a camera?
I bought one of these, a Canon camera
in
O'Leary's on Oliver Plunkett Street or somewhere. I was heading here and I passed it.
And what did you say to the man? Because they'll go, what do you...
I said, I want a camera. Well, you know something?
He probably said, what are you going to use it for?
No, come here.
What?
I says to him, I don't know what I want.
Yeah.
But you decide. And I told him the money I had.
Right.
I'm not telling you the money
I had.
I told him the money. I said, you sort me out. And he said he would. But
Did you tell him what you were using it for? No.
Yeah. I told him, like... I go for walks, right?
Yeah.
And I found walking was boring. And then I found I'm not a dog person and the cat refuses to come for a walk, right? I tried that. I nearly choked her with a leash. But so I go walking on my own.
Yeah.
And you have to find something to do. What I do is I photograph the same avenue, like up the mountain in Arigna, beautiful walk along Loch Allen. I'm photographing the same bit for times a year.
Ah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
I, as I said, the bumblebees and the dandelion.
Yeah.
that's what I'm photographing. Now, I'm not doing it to show to anybody. I'm not going to sort of, you know, put them on Facebook or let people see them. But it's actually a meditation.
But do you...
It's actually, you. If you go out and use the camera for walking like a meditation, you pick something that you feel is beautiful and sacred, right? Like a little bee or a fly or something. And you take a photograph of it. Can I tell you one quick story?
Yeah, well, I tell you, hold it. I'm going. I have to take a commercial break, and then, and if you can stay there, I'll be
I'll
here.
I'll tell you about the fox.
Yeah, brilliant, brilliant. Can't wait to hear it.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now we're talking to Michael Harding. Michael is part of Bealtaine, the third programme in RTE's four-part series, Na Féilte Tine, the Fire Festivals, which airs on Monday the 5th at 6.30 on RTE 1. Also, Michael is on tour, an evening with Michael Harding. He's in the Everyman in Cork tonight, then Riverbank in my home county of Kildare. That's in Newbridge. I'm from Kildare Town, not Newbridge, just to be exact. Dlore in Ennis then the weekend after. Civic Theatre in Talla and Backstage Theatre in Longford on Thursday, 29th of May. And michaelharding.ie and podcast on Patreon. You're a busy man.
Yeah, I forgot to say. Yeah, the Patreon, yeah, the podcast is going great.
Yeah.
But I was going to tell you about the fox.
Yes,
can
yeah,
I do get that?
Back. Yeah, no, do. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, before you do that, look. People, I love Michael Harding. When I was young, we always walked barefoot through the grass, for we had no blooming shoes. That's Eileen Ingidore. Love Michael Harding. He's a breath of fresh air on May Day. Love Michael Harding. He is who I want to be when I grow up. Though I'm 70 already. A nature-based spirituality is the only thing that makes sense. Happy Bealtainess is the course. Be the belief. I'm the here and now, so beautifully lovely. Michael is speaking my language. That's Dolores. And greetings from a very balmy Kilkenny city. Absolutely enjoying listening to Michael Harding speaking with you. What a wonderful gentleman. A tonic on this beautiful May Day. He always speaks sense and sparks the imagination. Cheers, says Kay. So there you go. The fox.
I had this camera, not the one I'm buying today, but I had another camera. It was a Sony camera, and it was out walking in the hills of Arigna, and I found a little spider on his web in the rushes, and I had a close-up of him, and I was so excited. Like, I was high. I was kind of a bit arrogant. You know, I thought, I'm turning into David Attenborough here, right? And I was getting really, really close to that. You could see the spider's legs moving and twiddling around on the wires and everything. Oh, Jesus, I thought I was a real artist. And as I'm clicking it, there's a fox comes up behind me and stands there looking at me, so that I turn around and I eyeball the fox, and the fox looks at me and he says, "So you think you're David Attenborough, do you? You'll never catch me on a camera." And he vanished, and he was gone. And there was one second chance I got about a month later on the same road.
Same fox.
And I got a photograph of him.
Yeah.
This is a wild fox.
Right.
And when I look into his little amber eyes, it is the sacred. It is the God that's present in all sentient beings.
Mm.
And he's coming out of his wilderness to say hello to me and to say to me, "How are you getting on with the spider, Michael?" Now, that kind of connectivity with nature, I find, if you have a camera, you take a picture of it and you go home and you look at it. And it's like the moment, the sacred, lovely moment you have with you. And I do think that we underestimate the value of photographs. People say it's reductive. Like, if you were at a sort of a wedding, why are you not enjoying the wedding? Why are you taking photographs? Because the photograph is a way. It's a ritual in itself.
Mm.
It's a formal, like, kind of connection that you bring home with you, and you remember the moment and the beauty of what happened in that day.
But I suppose the photograph has been undermined.
Yeah.
By the number of photographs that are taken. Because everybody has quite a good quality camera in their pocket, as in their smartphone. I was reading Fintan O'Toole the other day giving out about young priests taking selfies at the Pope's funeral.
Yeah.
Rather than being there. And is there a contradiction in that, you know?
I think that that's missing the point. I think that the very fact of taking the photograph, it's become a really modern technological ritual
right
that establishes you more firmly in the present moment.
That's interesting.
And then you take it home and remember it. So there's an act of remembrance. So I think he's wrong there.
Well, I would have thought, put you down as a man who wouldn't be in the photographs. That you know, you're there. In the moment.
Yeah, but I'm
present.
But I think that in the moment, you see, being present in the moment also needs ritual. You know, right. If you go to a holy well and stand at the holy well and don't bless yourself, you're missing half the fun. You know, because blessing yourself with the water out of the well is
part of
the...
Yeah.
It's the ritual that connects you with the water, the spring and the land around it. Okay? And everything is ritual. Ritual embodies. It embodies our connectivity with the cosmos. Forget God now. Just our connectivity with the beautiful landscape. So the lovely thing I think about cameras, and I used to be against them. I read Susan Sontag, who talked about the camera as being a predatory kind of weapon.
Right.
This was way back in the 90s. And it had put you off cameras because it was like you were kind of going around like a hunter, sort of robbing things with your camera. But I realised that the iPhone has, or the smartphone has democratised it.
Yes.
And now everybody is using it like the normal vocabulary. So it's no longer an elitist game. It's no longer for special people. It's now become a kind of a vernacular ritual.
Interesting.
That if I'm at a, even if I'm at a little moment, you know, when I'm signing books maybe or something, and I won't be signing books tonight, by the way, just in case, but if I was signing books at a festival or something, people will say, do you mind if I take a photograph? And I of course I don't mind. It's lovely because they're ritualising the engagement.
Right.
And you have your Uncle Tom or somebody and he's old, maybe he's in the, you know, in a sheltered accommodation, and you bring him out for an ice cream and a little bit of a nice sundae, right? What do? You take a photograph.
Yeah.
It's a ritual that says this moment is actually special.
Did you hear recently that they discovered that there might be life on a far distant planet? And we had a man in here, Kevin Nolan, from one of the universities, and he was telling us, if you wanted to get to that planet, and you set off now, it'd take you over 1 million years to get there. That's, because you're talking about the cosmos and the extent of it.
That'd be on a slow bus.
Slow bus to Leitrim. Yeah. Can you take us out further into the cosmos there? Sorry.
There's a faster way. No, that's only on our slow bus. It takes millions of years. Here's the point. If you believe that the whole cosmos is entangled in one single singularity or something, right?
Yeah.
Then when you look at a little buttercup on the 1st of May in the garden, you are actually on the other planet because the cosmos is expressing itself through that little buttercup. So in a way, we are all everywhere.
I'll have to take that away with me and think about it. And that's always the same with you, Michael Harding. You send me off and I have to think about our chat for days and days to try and figure it out.
Don't do that. Sure, I'm only talking. I wouldn't like anybody taking it seriously.
The Altona is on 6:30 on the bank holiday Monday, and it's the third in a four-part series. A nice idea that they're showing them across the bank holidays, welcoming in summer with the Altona and... Michael Harding is one of many people.
It will open your eye if you look at that programme, and you'll want to go out and enjoy yourself for the rest of the month.
Michael, always a pleasure. Have a good gig tonight, or whatever you say in the theatre world. Everyman tonight, and then Riverbank next weekend. Thanks, Michael. Happy May Day.
Thanks,
good luck.
Ray.
See you now. Bye.